Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome back. It's Hour 3 of ITL on FNTSY, and I am joined by KC Bubba. You can find him on the Twitters at BDNTrek. KC, what is going on, friendo?
Not much, my friend. It's always good to get back and talk some sports with you, talking some football on this wonderful day. So thanks for having me, and let's do this.
All right. So, you know, I want to hit some stuff early with you that the Welsh and I have already talked about, because I just want some fresh, you know, I want fresh eyes on this. I want you to know, because there are some things that the Welsh and I just kind of go, all right, yeah, whatever. And we kind of move on. So I want to get your analysis on this. And Zeke and Stephen Jones in the comments. I'm not sure if you saw them, but Stephen Jones says he's optimistic about getting a deal done with Zeke. And he's been out for, you know, obviously a while, and he got his precious feelings hurt when Jerry Jones made a joke about him, which was ridiculous, by the way.
It's bad.
Jerry Jones has earned the right to joke with him. So I just didn't understand that bit at all. But what do you think about Stephen Jones' comments about being optimistic about getting a deal done?
Well, he has to say it. He has to be optimistic. If he doesn't say it, then what are you telling all of your fans? Like, oh boy, you know, DEFCON 5, Zeke's not going to be here. We're screwed. We got to trust that, you know, Dak and the Ginger all over again. That's not a great move for it. So you got to stay pretty optimistic on this one. I personally always felt that Zeke was coming back number one or by opening day. I thought that was definitely a thing. I figured he might be back by now. We're getting closer to the, okay, this might be a concern level of things. But you have to be optimistic. You have to say, you can't go all Los Angeles Chargers here and say, you know, we're so far apart, it's a great chance Melvin Gordon's not showing up. Zeke's going to be there. He's back in town. I know it happened with Lev Bell last year, but it seems like the bad blood that Lev Bell had and the things that he had going on is way different than Zeke's to me. But then again, you see things like today where Joe Thomas tweets something out that pretty much every guy that's the best at their position when they get their next contract out there in their initial contract with the team that drafted them, they usually get paid like the number one player at that position. Joe Thomas tweeted that out, and the first one to retweet it was Ezekiel Elliott. So if the rumors right now are that they're offering him between the number one and number two guys right now, so he's right behind Gurley and right above Lev Bell, which is an amazing deal. Like, where do I sign? But Zeke, I think, wants that number one dollars. There's where I get concerned, but you got to be optimistic.
Yeah, and that's okay. So I love this because you're already agreeing with me that Stephen Jones, what he said was basically not news, right? I mean, You just have to say that stuff. And I think, you know, I think when you get to this stuff, what I was saying before was the bad news is news and good news is rhetoric. You know, where, you know, if you hear something bad, okay, take that into account. Like Mike Tomlin last year saying, you know, we want volunteers, not hostages. That was kind of telling. So I'm glad you're with me right there. So we will point and laugh at the Welsh because he thought this was huge news. So what an idiot. Come on. And then Cam Newton getting banged up in this game. What are your thoughts on Cam Newton this year? Because I feel like some people are all the way in. Some people are just all the way out on Cam. We've obviously seen him be super valuable and one of the number one quarterbacks to go in fantasy drafts before. But where are you on the Cam Newton train now that he's got this midfoot sprain and he was in a walking boot, but they don't think it's that bad and they're optimistic for week one and all that nonsense?
there's a lot of ways to go about this. And someone like yourself that does a lot of draft analysis for fantasy, you know, if you like a player, you can make whatever decision, like whatever argument you want to be good for that player. Yep. And if you don't like him, you can't. So I've liked Cam Newton. I've liked him pretty much every year he's been around. Even I had him last year once he really got hurt in the shoulder. It obviously reflected on my team, but up until he got hurt, it was great. For me, I kind of don't mind this for the fact of, A, you as a Steelers fan, you're really good with quarterbacks and walking boots. You understand that one very well. But this limits Cam's mobility, which means, A, he's got to sit in the pocket and throw the football. Like, he's not going to be running around getting hurt as much. I'm okay with that. It's a mild sprain. It's early. They're going to put him in a boot to be safe. He still looked fly last night with his hat and his suit. He was ready to roll.
It's a huge factor in deciding your quarterback.
Huge.
Selection.
It's huge. The swag factor. You got to go with the swag. But I like Cam a lot. I'm not overly worried right now. If some more reports come out, yes, that would stink. The quarterback position super deep, though, so it's one of those. If you have any concern, just pass. Just pass on him. There's so many other options out there. I'm not moving him up. I'm not moving him down. I don't reach for quarterbacks. We talked about that last week. It's one of those, like, if he falls, which I'm starting to see more and more people are getting wise to the fact the position is deep and that drafts guys are just falling like crazy, okay, then Cam finds his way on my roster. But you don't need to reach. You don't have to force it. I'm not that concerned yet.
All right. Well, this is what I said. I think I'm out. And the point was being made on NFL Network last night. And they said, Cam is not a young quarterback anymore. He's a middle-aged quarterback. And he has to learn to when to slide, when to go down, when to not take these damn hits anymore. Because it's always... I feel like we haven't seen Cam at 100% in a long time, and Cam at 100% is huge. But we've seen Cam at 75%, at 65%, and at the end of the year, we saw him at like maybe 45 to 50%, you know, and then obviously he wound up not playing those last couple games, but a lot of Kyle Allen, who went to my high school, no big deal. But he graduated like 15 years after I did. What do you think of that, huh?
But, you're like McConaughey right now, and dazed and confused.
Dazed and quarterbacked.
There you go.
But
title for Cam.
But I'm sick of dealing with this, and I'm sick of dealing with the injuries. I know that 100% Cam Newton is probably a top five quarterback. I just don't know when and if we are ever going to see 100% Cam Newton anymore. And we talked about this last week with walking into the season with a player that's banged up. I don't want AJ Green. I know this probably isn't major, right?
Yeah.
He'll probably be 100% by week four, but he'll be 100% by week four if he doesn't then get another injury while he's playing. And this is a dude that just takes too many risks. So I think I'm just kind of out on Cam Newton for this season. And my updated rankings on Patreon are going to reflect that. So everyone stay tuned for that. But how about someone that looked great? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Philly. He's getting buzz after this preseason game. He looked really, really good. Where are you at on a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
In, you know, Dynasty Keeper Leagues, yes, he's a great play. For me this year, it's just tough. Alshon Jeffery is still going to be the guy. You still have Zach Ertz there. They're going to want to use DeSean Jackson. That's a big factor. One day, eventually, Nelson Aguilar might turn into something. I see that being the angle our Whiteside can maybe squeeze into, but Whiteside's, like, he's being groomed to be Jeffery's replacement. So it's a weird factor. Philadelphia should be a very explosive offense. Wentz should be back to full health, as we're seeing. So he might get his. He might have his games where he gets his. To me, it's like what Christian Kirk felt like last year.
Okay.
Like, we wanted him to be this big thing, and he had those moments, but he wasn't that guy that if you drafted him on draft day, he definitely didn't return full value.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. I think when you just stack up what is going on in Philly, and, you know, let's not forget that, you know, JJ was doing this against the second, third string teams. His touchdown was in the middle of the third quarter when most of the starters at least are sitting at halftime, right? So it's just one of those things where I like this guy, and I'm not as big as on him as other people were. So I'm not the biggest J.J. Arcega-Whiteside guy, but I understand the skill and I understand the size, and that's, you know, you can't teach size. And that's something that we talked about last week as well. So, but, you know, he makes a lot of contested catches because he's not fast enough to break away from those corners. I just think it's going to be, number one, tougher against first-string guys, and number two, it's going to be tough to find a rhythm in this offense with Alshon, with Deshaun, with Nelson Aguilar, with Goddard and Ertz and Miles Sanders and Sproles and Clement and all of those guys. I mean, you know, it makes you look at Carson Wentz and salivate, of course, because he has so many weapons. But I just don't think I'm in on drafting him. Maybe, you know, obviously Dynasty Keeper is a different situation, but I'm absolutely with you there. A guy that I think that we need to change our minds on, and let me know if you have, Jacoby Myers just getting a ton of targets again. And I know that Josh Gordon is coming back and N'Keal Harry is going to work his way back in, but the NFL, you know, the old Jerry Glanville, not for long. So it's what have you done for me lately? And Myers is making an impact right now. So what's your take on him?
Yeah, the biggest take is it's the New England Patriots. So just buyer beware on that one. We've played this game with their running backs, with their wide receivers many times. Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, they'll get love. Now you're debating between Philip Dorsett, Demaryius Thomas, who's there, Harry, Myers. You have four guys. And yes, Myers has been great. He's been very, very good. But I feel that they're going to want to run the ball a lot this year. They're not going to be spreading it out a ton to have, you know, three, four wide receivers on the field unless it's dire straits late in the game. And by then, it's going to be tough to get Myers' value. Myers is very good. He's one of those guys to have, you know, on your watch list if he doesn't get drafted. I've been in a few drafts lately where he has gotten drafted. I won't be going after him. I'm just worried about where is the consistent playing time going to come from. He's played great this preseason, but there's a lot of people he's got to try to fight for the football with.
Myers or Devontae Parker?
Oh, as a Dolphins fan, that really stings. I'll go with Devontae Parker just because he has the job right now, but it's not pretty.
Myers or Randall Cobb?
Ooh. I'd probably gamble on Myers at that point because I'm just worried about Randall Cobb in general.
Right. Okay. I'm a Randall Cobb guy, or as the Welsh would say, I'm a Cobb sucker. So,
hey, at least you're good at something.
Exactly. So I've snapped up Cobb in a couple spots, and I think Cobb, especially if Zeke doesn't show up, could be a nice little impact there. What about Kalen Ballage? Now, you're the Dolphins fan. He looked god-awful in the game the other day. Obviously, they just gave Drake the extension, too, and Drake has been in a walking boot. They're hoping he's going to be good to go for week one. But Ballage is kind of the guy, and we know that Matthew Berry, for whatever reason, I don't know if Matthew Berry is just a personal friend of Kalen Ballage or what, but he kind of leads the train on the Kalen Ballage propaganda. And look, I'm an ASU, you know, semi fan. They're the in-state school that I root for. I'm more of a Longhorns fan, of course. But what do you think of Ballage, and have you been drafting Ballage?
I have not been drafting Ballage. I have not been drafting any Dolphins running backs because it's such a mess there. I think I've always thought it, and it's never come out to fruition, that Kenyon Drake's the better back. Yes, he's hurt right now, and it just feels like they want it to be a committee or they're trying to get Ballage in there. It's like Ballage plays great in practice, but then, like you said last night, he just lays an egg in week three preseason. So it's really interesting to see how that all plays out. But I don't want anything to do with this backfield. I think there's going to be a lot of weeks where it's one guy and then the next week it's the other guy. There's going to be really no consistency in this backfield. It could be like a Patriot situation where, you know, one guy goes for, you know, 16 carries for 85 yards. The other guy's got three carries and two touchdowns.
Right.
And it's just very, very tilting.
I think the most annoying thing about last night's preseason game was the James Devlin touchdown, because you know that nonsense is going to happen when James Devlin is the only running back that's less than 1% owned on the Patriots, because he's a fullback and no one's going to take him, and he's going to turn into goddamn Mike Gillisley. And I'm just going to be so mad. I can already see it happening where, you know, I have shares of Sonya Michelle or Damian Harris or James White, and here comes James Devlin or anyone else. You know, like I have Jacoby Myers, I have N'Keal Harry, I have whoever, and here's stupid James Devlin.
Yeah, so. I had Sonya Michelle last year, and Devlin had a 2 or a 3 touchdown game, all goal lines. Well, I felt like it was, you know, Coach Kilmer in Varsity Blues.
Are you telling me you can't handle them boys putting their wangers on your window? That movie, good Lord.
Perkins said, oh, we probably shouldn't talk about that real stuff.
Yeah. My favorite part is when he looks down and he goes, what the F is that?
Yeah. Tweeter, you gonna like jail? I could do this all day.
Oh, so. God. Yeah, and that was that Allie Larder?
I don't even remember. She was beautiful is all I know. Whipped cream bikini.
Yeah, yep. The whipped cream bikini. Good Lord. Yeah,
Liz. Yeah, that never happened to me in high school, but I always dreamed about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. It happened to me like 9 times.
So, oh, yeah. Show off?
Yeah, come on. Are you owning anyone from the Dolphins being the Dolphins fan? I mean, it's kind of a, wow, that was a quick answer. No, you're not even like, okay, so no Preston Williams?
Well, okay, here's what it comes down to. It's how deep is your league? Because I wouldn't mind a gamble on Preston Williams. I still find myself wanting to, like, I want to believe in either Devontae Parker or Kenny Stills. I think one of them gets it. A lot of that's going to depend on who's the quarterback. And because, like, Fitzmagic will just throw it everywhere. Rosen's actually looked really good last night, and they gave him a lot of the first-team reps. So, and in reality, he should be the guy starting so they know what they have if they need to draft a quarterback or not. He should be playing. As much as I want Fitzmagic there, I think Fitzmagic gives them the best chance to actually win football games. But it's tough to like anybody there because there's so many moving parts. And with this new staff, I really don't have a good feel on what they want to do. But Preston Williams – it's sneaky good. He's really sneaky good.
Yeah, I mean, he was good at Colorado State, too. Obviously, some off-the-field concerns coming in, and that's probably why he went undrafted. But impressive. He has been very impressive. All right, well, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a nice, fun article that was put out on Fantasy Pros about wide receiver threes that could turn into wide receiver ones. So stick around, and we will be talking more football right after this.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Welcome back. It's ITL on FNTSY, and I have got a read for you guys. So let's see if I can get through this clean, Bubba. I'm not always as good as the Welsh on these, but... The 2019-20 NFL season is here, and you can become the 8th person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS lineup optimizer, or become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS using DailyRoto.com. If you are playing Daily Fantasy Sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Head on over and check out their tools for the NFL, MLB, PGA, NBA, NHL, and sports wagering, or get access to all of them with the Daily Roto Elite Package. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and use the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code ACTION, DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. What do you think out of 10 on that one?
I give you like a 9.7.
9.7. I stumbled a couple times, so I'd say 8.5.
See, I'm generous.
Yeah,
I'm generous.
You are generous.
Again, I'm a Dolphins fan.
You got to get the karma somewhere, right?
So you got to find some light in the pain.
I mean, okay, look, I hate Tom Brady. I obviously the Steelers have lost about, I believe, 150 AFC championships to the Patriots, or lost to the Patriots in the playoffs so many times with Tom Brady at the helm. I am sick of him. I am sick of seeing those stupid jerseys in the Super Bowl. I am sick of them. But They're not in my division. So the Steelers don't have to play the Patriots every single year. Now they are opening with the Pats this year, of course, on Sunday Night Football. But what is your, like, how much do you hate Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
Like, it's weird. It's like I say with the Dodgers as a diehard Giants fans. I hate them all with a passion, but I respect what they're doing. Like, what the Patriots are doing is just ridiculous. It's like, you know how it goes when it's 2 minutes left and they're down and they need a touchdown. You already know the game's over. Like, right. You're already walking out of the room because Tom Brady is just going to go down the field and make it happen. It's disgusting. The one good thing being a Dolphins fan is somehow they can't win in Miami. It's freaking amazing. Like, it's my Super Bowl every year when they come into Miami because I think they just go to South Beach and, you know, enjoy the fun of South Beach. And somehow it's either a really close game, which is a moral victory for the Dolphins, or they actually win. So it's like, I went down there for my bachelor party way back when, and they actually lost, but they covered the spread, so they only lost by 4. So it was a beautiful situation, and I do hate the Patriots, so yes.
I do like when you're taking the victory on they beat the spread. You know, yes. It's that's a difficult situation right there. But I think we've all been in it. I mean, obviously, I've been a Diamondbacks fan for a very long time, and I'm doing my Carl Jr. bit this year, so it's all stuff that I hate. But I don't know how you live with that guy. I tell you what, my favorite Dolphins versus Pats moment, I mean, the Hail Mary this year was fun.
That was awesome.
But the best one was the Ronnie Brown Wildcat game, right?
Yes, where they just owned him. They brought this out-of-nowhere gimmick and just owned them for 4 quarters. The first time Bill Belichick was confused, I think, in his life.
Yeah, yeah, and it was just one of those things where the game opened up. I just remember watching it, and I was like, what are they doing? This is pathetic. Like, they're going, this is the lengths we're going to go to beat the Pats, is we're going to do Wildcat. And then I was like, I remember checking back in the second quarter. I'm like, huh, this seems to be working a little bit. What's the deal here? And then third quarter, and then the fourth quarter, I'm like, they're stomping them. What is going on here? And Ronnie Brown, what did Ronnie Brown have? Like, did he have 3 rushing touchdowns or something ridiculous?
I think something crazy like that. He basically was the offense, and
good,
he just did it all.
Lord, man, yeah. That game was so much fun. And
it was awesome.
I mean, that's, you know, the Steelers have had that with the Bengals a little bit. Like, the Bengals would beat them, you know, unmercifully. I remember the Super Bowl 40 year when the Bengals beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and T.J. Houshmandzadeh wiped his cleats with a terrible towel.
That was something else.
I thought the season was over right then. Then they get into the playoffs and then play him in the first round. Obviously, unfortunately, Carson Palmer goes down early in the first quarter, and it was just a stomping after that. And the best one ever.
Real quick, though. I'll let you do your best one. Be honest with me. That Bengals team was really good. If Palmer doesn't get hurt, how do you think he actually won that game?
I don't know.
That Bengals team was really good.
It was really good. I can tell you for a fact, though, that Chad Johnson said, if Palmer doesn't get hurt, I'm wearing a Super Bowl ring. Not a chance in hell. No way.
Yeah.
They weren't going to the Super Bowl, but because they would have lost to the Colts. I can't believe the Steelers beat the Colts after that. And that's the thing that makes me think maybe we beat them, right? Because they went into Indy and won that game. They went into Denver and won that game. And then, you know, they played against the Seahawks, got 2 favorable calls. It's not 17 like everybody wants to make it. They got 2 favorable calls that were swings. I'll admit that. But every single game has a swing. Give me a break. And won that Super Bowl. So, that was unfortunate. And Kimo von Olhoffen, who is the guy that hit Palmer low, was Palmer's teammate for a long time. And he was visibly shook by it. It's not something he wanted to do. He got
blocked. Yeah, it wasn't intentional at all.
But, I mean, the best one was the one where Shazier rips the ball out of Jeremy Hill's stupid hands. Mm-hmm. And then idiot Vontaze Burfict gets 4 penalties, right?
Yeah, he was a piece of work.
Right.
Still is.
The Steelers kick a field goal and win, and Cincinnati still hasn't won a game in like 8 million years. So.
Hey, what are your thoughts on Tim Tebow?
yeah, I thought we were friends.
Hey, you had to bring up the Patriots against the Dolphins. I could ask you about Tim Tebow.
Well, the problem is that like that pass to DT is every single one of Tim Tebow's highlights in football. Yep. It's that and the end around to beat the Jets, right? The yep. one where it was the fake handoff, not an end around, but where he split it out so wide it looked like an end around. So that was such a brutal loss, and that was a playoff game too. That's worse than losing to the Jaguars at home the other year, right? 2 years ago, they lost to the Jaguars. I saw that coming because Shazier hurt his spine. The team wasn't the same after that. It was just, you know, Leonard Fournette just carved him up. And I was like, someone has to stop him. And just nobody did the entire game. They almost came back and won that too. So I hate that, you know, don't give me hope. When you're getting beat, when you're getting stomped like that, just take the stomping. You know,
that's the Dolphins every year. They give me hope. They start out like 4-1 or something, and then people start asking me, "Hey, they're going to do it?" I said, "No, they're going to finish 8-8. Just watch. This is what they do. I'm used to this, guys. We're good enough to not get a good draft pick, but we suck enough to not make the playoffs. It's a tradition unlike any other."
Here we are reminiscing, and the season hasn't even started, of course.
Yep. Yep. But we're looking forward to it, and we're already dreading things.
Right. Right. Exactly. But let's talk about this article Mike Tagliere put out, and this is, the Fantasy Pro staff put out. And this is a good one because this is wide receivers that are outside of the top 30 that have a chance to be a wide receiver one for the season. And I think for the most part, there might be one or two guys that were actually higher than 36 on the rankings. This article has Curtis Samuel in there. What do you think of Curtis Samuel this year? Are you in or out on him?
I like him a lot. I liked him last year quite a bit. You know, he can play out of the slot and make some magic there. Let DJ Moore extend things up top. It's a good 1-2 punch there in Carolina. And Samuel's, you know, take the reports as you wish. He's doing very, very well this preseason. So I like Curtis Samuel quite a bit. I actually snagged him over the weekend in my longtime home draft. So, I don't mind him. Like I told you before we started, we're going to go through this list. And there's a lot of guys here I don't mind as like a – if you punted wide receiver or if you want like two of these guys to be your twos and threes, you can do some damage here.
What about do you think that – I feel like the hype going into draft weekends has been a little bit much. And I could be mistaken here, but what do you think that the hype on him is going maybe perhaps a little bit overboard?
It could be because at the same time it's – we've never really seen him have those big games. There's some guys we'll talk about here that have done it before, but like injuries have derailed them or other things along those lines. Where Curtis Samuel, we're thinking, you know, PPR, he could put up a, you know, 6-for-80 type game, maybe find the end zone type stuff when he's got some, you know, bigger upside at times. So the hype could definitely be there. Anytime Cam Newton or any of those upper echelon quarterbacks say they're really liking a receiver, that's going to just balloon all of the fish to go drafting people. So I could see that as part of the hype train. I believe that most of it's pretty legit, but yes, his value probably is higher than it should be. Maybe he should be like, you know, 5 to 10 receivers down instead of wide receiver 39. But I think he could definitely thrive this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him. I think the one thing that makes me worry about him is number one, his injury past, and number two, Cam Newton's, of course. What about Anthony Miller going off ADP wide receiver 52, huge in college, a lot of fun to watch, scored a bunch of touchdowns last year. He's got, I feel like Anthony Miller is a nice one to put here because of his upside, but with Allen, it's a lot like the JJ Arcega-Whiteside thing. Yes. Although Miller is in his second year, so he's going to be on the field more, but it's, you know, Allen Robinson's there, Trey Burton's there, David Montgomery's there, Tariq Cohen's there, Taylor Gabriel's there. There's just a lot going on. Drafted Kareth White, who they like. They signed Cordell Patterson, who they like. There's just a lot of moving parts in this offense. So I actually don't have any shares of Anthony Miller, even though I like his skill. What do you think about him?
I think I have him like one place because he dropped quite a bit. I think he's one of those guys, we know the skill level is very, very good. We know Mitchell Trubisky loves to throw to his slot receivers, which is tremendous for Anthony Miller. in this situation. I'd prefer Anthony Miller over Taylor Gabriel personally, but that's just me. It's one of those, though. I think the hype train's up on him, so I don't usually get him very much because I'm not reaching for him like I'll reach for other receivers. I think he'll be good. The other thing with the Bears, which is tough, is we saw it a lot last year with their defense, as strong as they are. When they get an early lead, they just slow the game down and pound the rock. Like, they're not throwing it out anymore. When they had big passing games, it's because it was like a quick blowout where like the four touchdowns were all passing related, or they were in a shootout. That's the only time it worked out. So you're going to have a lot of kind of dud weeks, it feels like, with the Bears. That can be a concern as well. But the skill level, like you said, is great. Trubisky loves his slot guys, so it's definitely an option.
Yeah, boom or bust players. You know, those are they're tough to own. And here's one, and I feel like, you know, Will Fuller fits perfectly into this Houston offense. But the dude is, you know, once again, a guy that is constantly playing below 100%. And it's obnoxious to own a guy like that because you just want him to be in there. You want all your players to be set it and forget it, and they're not all going to be like that. And this is one of those guys. If he's playing, he's definitely in your lineup. I kind of like him being in this realm of a wide receiver three that could produce like a wide receiver one. But, you know, even if he's 100% and all things are clicking in Houston, he's still at best the number two option on that team because they still have DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't know that I like him for this. I don't know that I like him to ever be a wide receiver one.
Yeah, and that's the weird part. He's going to pick 31. So it's one of those, if I take running backs early, I'm probably not going Will Fuller. When I go Will Fuller, it's I already have one or even two really good receivers in place. I don't mind him as my two. I love him as my three. The upside is tremendous with Will Fuller. We've seen it when he's healthy, and you said it, and everyone knows it. It's a big if with Will Fuller, but when he's out there, I think Tagliere and the guys at Fantasy Bros have documented it. Deshaun Watson's numbers go through the roof. Will Fuller's a beast. It opens it up for Hopkins. That offense is so dynamic with Fuller on the field. I have a lot of shares of Fuller. I think I have him in almost every league I have. It's one of those that it's risky. I know it's extremely risky, but for me, but again, he's not my wide receiver one.
Right.
It's one of those I can pivot off of, but I'm a big fan of what he has to offer. I know you can't predict injuries. I'm trying to tell myself that when I go to draft him, but the ceiling for him compared to the ceiling for like an Anthony Miller or even a Curtis Samuel is so much higher to me that I'm willing to take a gamble on Will Fuller.
I like the investment. I just haven't done it yet. So, and I like Will Fuller. I liked him coming out of Notre Dame. Just got to stay on the field. Him and Kiki QT. Good Lord. Stay on the field, guys.
Rough.
How about the last three here? Are there any one of these three? Tyrell Williams, Josh Gordon, Michael Gallup. Are you in on any of those guys?
I'll make it rather quick for you. Josh Gordon, I absolutely love. I had him late in a lot of drafts before the news came out because I figured he'd come back eventually. If it was zero games, four games, I didn't think they'd go past four. You never know. Football's crazy, but we've seen how they document things. There's no consistency. And I think they're trying to actually kind of be more lenient on the marijuana thing with all the brain damage and news on all that stuff. So I think we're going to see a lot more where maybe someday you can actually like take some CBD stuff and everything and kind of get away with it here. I'm a huge fan of Josh Gordon. Tom Brady loves him. There's a ton to like there. I think his ADP will be above 30 here with this article. He wouldn't even be in like another week probably. Tyrell Williams, big boomer bust. Like, you really got to go for it. I'm not in love with him. I don't mind it if he's like your fourth or fifth receiver. He's going to have his big weeks, but they're going to be super inconsistent because they just throw it up to him. Antonio Brown's going to get the big workload there. And then Michael Gallup, I can't do it because I did it too much last year, and I'm like a woman scorned. It's just I wanted to love him so many times, and he just couldn't get it done. So the talent's there. It's just Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb in the slot. It's possible, but I'm not finding myself with any Michael Gallup right now.
Yeah, I haven't either, and I think it's less to do with Michael Gallup and more to do with I draft with – there's just always a Cowboys homer in whatever league
The worst people. The worst people.
I don't know that they're the worst
people. I'm joking.
I mean, we'll talk off air, but I don't want to say that they're the worst people. A lot of – you know, we have guys like our one of our best Patreons – Rob Ditton, of course, he's not a bad guy, but you're not allowed to say anything bad about the Cowboys in front of him. He won't allow it. One of my best friends, Will, is a huge Cowboys fan, and he's super obnoxious, especially when the Cowboys beat the Steelers. So exactly. There's this old picture of me with my roommate and two of my best friends, and it was with Will right after the Cowboys beat the Steelers. All three of those guys, biggest grins on their face ever. And two of them, the other two are not Cowboys fans. They just love the fact that my Steelers lost. And the three biggest grins you've ever seen, and I just look miserable. So
yeah, I live in Niners country here. There's a lot of Cowboys fans. And trust me, they let you know when good things happen. That's why I made the joke I made. It's almost like St. Louis Cardinals Twitter fans.
Yeah, exactly. But we have to hit a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about these wide receivers. Then I want to ask KC about his strategy in non-traditional leagues. So we will take a break and be right back on FNTSY.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, and you can hear it. Endless love means that we are done with this show today. This is the last segment. This is it. I'd like to thank KC Bubba for joining us. And KC, please hit your Twitter. Tell everybody all the podcasts you're doing and promote yourself. Pimp yourself out, pimp.
I appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric. I'm always available over there. The DMs are open to the stupidity of many, but I'm over there. I do a Bench with Bubba podcast. I've been doing that for quite a while now. It's kind of like my baby. I have Around the Base with Bubba and Mo. I do an MLB DFS Quick Hits podcast. I do a golf podcast. I do an NFL podcast for DFS. A little bit of everything, and I do some writing over at quantedge.com. So I try to stay as busy as the ITL guys, but I'm just a little bit behind still.
Yeah, I'm getting to this weird part in my brain where everything is kind of split up. Like when we've been doing this, I've got like six texts, and I'm trying to just not look at my phone at all, right? Or I'll pick up my phone to look up a stat, and then a text will come in, and I'm the guy that wants to answer the text right away most of the time. And that's bad about me. I'm either like, I will answer your text immediately, or I'll get to you tomorrow. There's like no in between for me. It's very strange. So, and I'm like that with DMs and everything else as well. So my brain is just a little bit too scattered. But let's get back on track here before I go off on another tangent and we talk about Ronnie Brown for 5 minutes. But here are the real wide receiver threes according to Fantasy Pros ranks. And you tell me if you think any of these guys can end up being wide receiver ones. Or how about this? The guy most likely of these 12. Now, Will Fuller's in here. We've already talked about him. The Welsh and I talked about how a lot of people are getting higher and higher on Westbrook, and he had a ton of targets the other day. So Westbrook, of course, is going to be on a lot of those lists. But Corey Davis, Sammy Watkins, we already talked about Josh Gordon, Christian Kirk, Robbie Anderson, A.J. Green with the injuries down here, Mike Williams, Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson, D.J. Moore. Who is most likely out of the actual wide receiver threes from 25 to 36? Who is most likely to end up as a wide receiver one this year?
I might be taking the easy way out, but I'm going to go Josh Gordon. Like, I really think if he plays all 16 games, he's going big, and I'm going to be very painful, but I'm going to think it's him. If you don't want the cop out there, then it's D.D. Westbrook, because they're going to feed him that rock all day long.
I don't think Josh Gordon is a cop out at all. Not even a little bit, because I don't know that he's guaranteed more than one or two games before he smokes pot and is back on the suspension list. So the guy just, and he's proven it to us time in and time out that he just can't stay on the straight and narrow. It just hasn't happened. And we all thought that we were seeing it last year. Like, okay, you know, he opened up about a story about being an alcoholic and how he was drunk constantly at Baylor. And, you know, it moved into, you know, weed, which isn't more serious than liquor at all, but it's just, it's hard to shake those things. So we heard that story and we're like, okay, you know, he's kind of finally found his demons out and he's moving on with them. And it just, you know, once again, he gets suspended. So I'm with you. I think it's ridiculous that guys get suspended for weed. I think
it's horrible,
idiotic, but it's the rule. You know what I mean? Like, that's the rule. You got to follow it until the new CBA comes along. And I firmly believe that when the new CBA comes along, the NFL is going to have to give up testing for pot. So I think the NHL already doesn't. I think the NBA still does for whatever reason. But in the NBA, it's like, all right, you got to fail. It's like strike 16, you know?
Yeah, I think it's the NBA and like some of these other ones now. It's one of those, okay, you've tested for it. Here's a note that I slid under your desk. Make sure you just kind of keep that down for your next test.
Right. We're going to test you again in 2 weeks. So if you fail that test, then we're going to give you a third test.
Exactly.
And if you fail that test, then we got to tell people and suspend you for 2 games. But just, you know, don't do it for a week and you'll be fine. But but it's just one of those things. So I'm to be honest, I'm not gonna have any shares of Josh Gordon, and it's for two reasons.
Scaredy cat.
Number one, I'm absolutely a scaredy cat. Number two, I don't think he's as good anymore as he was. And number three, most of my leagues are with the Welsh, and the Welsh wants to start a life with Josh Gordon. Like, he wants to move in an apartment together and, you know, start a winery or whatever, any of that stuff. With Josh Gordon. He is a huge Josh Gordon apologist, and I get it. And he is super skilled. I'm not going to be buying in. I can't do it. So I think if I'm picking one of these guys, it's Allen Robinson.
Really?
We've seen Allen Robinson do it before. You know, Jarvis Landry obviously has done it before. And who else? Oh, AJ Green, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But he's going to be hurt. So I don't think he's going to have enough games to get up into the wide receiver one territory. So I think it's Allen Robinson because we've seen him do it before. We already mentioned about how the Bears offense here is loaded with weapons. So it's not like they can pay special attention to him. So I think that he's my guy out of this group. And I've been a Allen Robinson apologist for a while too, but okay, let me ask you this. Are you taking Gordon over Robinson?
Yes.
Wow.
I have no Allen Robinson. I'm worried about the consistency of that offense in Chicago, and I'm worried about the consistency of Mitchell Trubisky.
I get that. I just think that Trubisky is one of those guys that is kind of learning on the job, right? True. He didn't play much in high school. He only had
North Carolina is nothing.
Yeah, North Carolina. He NC State, he played like, I don't know. What was it? 11 starts, 12 games, 14 games, maybe.
That's crazy.
So it's not like he's a 4-year starter. You know, he's not Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford or anything. So I think he's still learning on the job. So I'm still kind of an apologist. Is there anyone else lower? Like, I like Larry Fitzgerald still.
Big Larry Fitzgerald fan with you.
I don't know if he can get to wide receiver one status, but I'm in on him. I think that Cortland Sutton is a huge guy to me. In fact, on the Black Book show with Pizapia, he said this wide receiver three can move up into the wide receiver 1-2 territory, fill in the blank. And that was my pick, was Cortland Sutton. I'm a huge, huge fan of his. Is there anyone else lower down here beyond wide receiver three that you think could float up into that wide receiver 1-2 area?
I think you nailed it with Fitzgerald. That's a guy that just continues to get no respect, and he'll be a very popular target of a young quarterback in that offense. Other than that, you know, just off the top of my head, looking at the ADPs right now, you can try to make some arguments for a Jamison Crowder out of the slot in that Jets offense coming up to be like a wide receiver too. I'd give him that. We know Darnold likes Crowder quite a bit, likes throwing to the slot. It's actually looked pretty good early on, surprisingly. You got to watch for Adam Gase, of course, but I don't hate that at all. And then if you want one other one, Sterling Shepard could be that sneaky guy because he's been very, very good in the past. He's going to start the first 4 games with no Golden Tate there. And he's just got that bond with Manning for while he's playing, of course. But I think Shepard could be that guy. If he stays on the field, could be very interesting also.
I have to apologize to everyone because I am in a bunch of slow drafts and I have them all pulled up. And while you were talking, the horn, Have you heard the Fantrax horn before?
Oh, I've heard it. I have definitely heard it.
It just blared. So I my apologies if that came.
I didn't hear it at all though right now.
I know you didn't, but I think since I'm recording, it might come through. So my apologies if it did. Hopefully that'll wake you up. You know what I hope happened? I hope someone was falling asleep on the road and I just woke him up. That's
lifesaver. Lifesaver.
Right. Yeah. I'm a hero. That's what I say. I like some of those names you picked. Joe seems to be worried about Le'Veon Bell playing in the slot a little bit for Jameson Crowder. Love that he's been getting recently, but I don't know. I'm in on Crowder.
To be fair, Joe's also all in on Andrew Luck. So
yeah, I'm just very, very true. But
and I've trolled him in his face on that one for fun.
good. He needs it. So I like Andrew Luck. I'm sick of this injury stuff. I'm so tired of it. But let's talk about some non-traditional leagues. And are you in any Superflex 2QB leagues, IDP leagues, anything like that?
Yes, I am. I'm in the Black Book League with Mr. Joe Pisapia himself.
Superflex.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the Superflex. I almost have my home league convinced to go to Superflex. Like next year we'll start Superflex. I had to like lay it out for them before they started partaking in adult beverages and explain to them what the advantages are. And I think I had them sold. It was almost like I almost got to give them all coffee because coffee's for closers. So it almost happened. But I'm a big fan of the Superflex. It values the quarterback just like other positions. It's really, really good, especially when quarterback is as deep as it is now. We get to actually enjoy the position and all these talented players. I'm a big fan of it.
I'm in a 16-man Superflex league, which, of course,
quarterback.
Very, very difficult. And I went with I got pick 14, and James Conner was still on the board for me at 14. So because a couple quarterbacks had gone, and then coming back in the second round, a bunch of quarterbacks went. So it was like Mahomes, Luck, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz. I don't think Cam went, but I think those are the quarterbacks that went. So I'm stuck with the glob of like Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, you know, guys, and then everyone on down from there. Matt Ryan went. But Joe Mixon was still there.
Really?
So I took Mixon. So I started out my Superflex draft with Mixon and James Conner, but now I have to wait to see what kind of scraps I'm going to get at quarterback. I'm hoping I can still get, you know, at least one decent one. But we talked about Derek Carr last week. I think I may have to be invested in Derek Carr.
Well, that's the thing. League. That's the thing with Superflex leagues. You have to like. I just got Jimmy Garoppolo in one.
Yeah.
As my number two, but that's just how it goes. It's weird. Like we did the Barf League this past week, the Bay Area Roto League that Mason puts on, and it was weird because it's a Superflex. And last year's draft, I think like almost everybody had two quarterbacks by the end of like round three or four. This year, no one was taking quarterbacks till like round five or six. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. It was basically a gigantic game of chicken to see who was going to go first. It was like, we're going to take all the value at receivers and running backs, and all of a sudden, no one's taking quarterbacks.
Mahomes went one overall in this draft. So,
Mahomes went in the first round. There was a couple that go, but the quarterback run did not start to like the fifth or sixth round. We were like, oh, wow, it finally happened.
Jeez. Yeah, so it went Mahomes, and then Watson was picked, and then Rodgers, Luck, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. I took Mixon ahead of Wentz. But since then, it's gone Chubb, Michael Thomas, Juju. So I think people are going to have to start kind of coming back down to earth. You know what I mean?
And
taking some of these other positions.
Well, that's the fun part about those, because now that the quarterback's valued higher, you have to really make a decision. Okay, do I want the quarterback or do I want these really good guys here that I might not be able to backfill later? When, you know, if I wait another round or two, I go get a quarterback because there'll still be a couple there. They won't be nearly as good. But at the same time, is the trade-off for whatever running back or receivers I'm going to have to get like four or five rounds later, is it worth that gap? And there's been tons of research done between quarterbacks like six and like 16. They're not separated by many points.
Right.
So you have to really break it down like, hey, okay, it's a flashy, nice name at quarterback. Is it worth it? That's why I think the Mixon pick's a good pick. Like, because you know your player pool. And I think that's a very good way to go about it. If you got your pool in play and make sure you have at least some of your guys still in play for you, it's worth taking that value at a running back or a wide receiver and then coming back to quarterback later.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is a new trend and I'm doing it for the first time this year. Are you in any at ITL, we did entry leagues for them. We're calling it the Medieval League, where one is a vampire league. It's not the traditional vampire league. The vampire league is where there's one person that doesn't draft and they get to pick whoever is left on any of the wire, and there's no pickups or trades for anyone else in the league. The vampire can pick up whoever they want the whole year. Everyone else has to just stick with what they've drafted. What we did is if you beat the guy you're playing, you get to take a player off of their roster. But week one, you know, only one guy is available to take off their roster, and it's going to move up from there. So, like, you know, by the time we get to week 10, there's 9 to 10 guys that you're able to take off of their roster. So it's a little different. And Guillotine is brutal. It's kind of like the Pick'em Survivor Leagues, but low score each week, eliminated from the league. And all of their players are put into the, you know, into the free agent pool or waiver wire, whatever. So are you in either one of those style leagues?
No, I am not in any of those. I've been offered or asked to be in some. And then I look at them and go, there's no way I can compute this right now. So I'm going to pass till next time.
So what do you think, like, how would your strategy differ in a league like that? Would you be more willing to take a top tier, you know, quarterback and tight end and stuff in those type of leagues? Or would your stuff not change too much?
I would try not to change it too much. I know there's an advantage of winning and not losing players and all that kind of stuff, but I think if you still build your team, you'll be okay. And at the same time, if you lose, they're going to be headhunting for your top players. So you're going to be really shallow now because you kind of went stars and scrubs, where if you're more balanced and they knock a guy off, you're still going to be sitting rather pretty. So I'd probably just keep my normal approach, but that's a whole another animal right there. That's just, it's bananas.
I think the thing that I'm most worried about is, and the Welsh and I have talked about it, is one of us losing week one in the Guillotine League. It's just a bad look. You know what I mean?
That's a tough one.
I mean, anything can happen. And I think I have low picks in, actually I have a high pick. I think in Guillotine, I picked 3. So we haven't started that draft yet, but I went with 3 because I get one of Saquon, CMC, or Kamara there. So I'm good with that. It's just, you know, I'm so nervous for that league because it's, you know, I'm going to take Kamara most likely. And if Kamara rolls his ankle on the second drive, I might be screwed. And that's your year right there.
Yep. You know? Season's over right out the gate.
Oh God, it's so brutal.
But, I mean, that's a tough one. I'll have to jump in one next year because I've been asked by a couple of guys in recent years, and I keep telling them, no, that's just way too deep for my brain right now with everything else going on. But I think I'm going to have to dip my toe in the water, then I'll probably become hooked like everything else we do in fantasy, and then I'll be, like, knocking on your door at 2 in the morning asking if I can get another league. So I'll try it out.
Come on, baby. Just give me one more than vampire leagues. Come on.
One more, please. Please, Amanda.
Oh, that's funny stuff. All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up for ITL on FNTSY. And you guys can catch us here next week as well. And we will have more football to talk about. We're going to have to start getting in. Our guy Drew said that he's going to play the Welsh and I's DFS lineups, which is always fun because we're not good at it because we don't have it in Arizona. But it's going to be a lot of fun. But remember, you can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, at BDN Trek, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.